Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. Here it is once more and again, Inspirational Wednesday, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. As always, it's an honor, a privilege to come before you on Wednesday night. I pray that everyone had a great week in the time that we was absent one from another. And I pray that we will enjoy the word of God on tonight, and the word will not return void, and that God will give you a message that you could hold on to and that you could use. As always, I want you to know that at the end of the broadcast, if you would like to make a comment, I have anything to say, you could press the one button and you would be able to comment. I want you to know that I have to always give honor to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost for just allowing us to come back together Wednesday after Wednesday after Wednesday. You know, that's he's really given us a privilege, and we have to be thankful for it. I want to thank each and every one of you who consistently and constantly call on Wednesday night to hear the word of God. Well, I just want you to know the lesson tonight is God's master plan for our redemption and salvation. God's master plan for our redemption and salvation. And that plan was accomplished through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're going to have many scriptures, so it's not one scripture, but we're going to do that. But before we get started, I'm going to go ahead and play this song that I think is appropriate for tonight. And the record is called Because He Lives. And once this goes off, we're going to go ahead and start with the lesson. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I really believe that that song was appropriate and a good song, and it relates to the lesson. You know, that's a song we could go around just singing in our heart and our mind all the time, because Jesus is a living God. And because he lives is what allows us to face tomorrow. Because he lived, that's what removes our doubts and all of our fears. And then the record says, I know he holds the future, our future that he has granted us through salvation. So our night's lesson is God's master plan for our redemption and salvation. I want to get your mind into what the lesson is going to be about, because it's not one topic scripture, but we're going to talk about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When I started this, I looked up what they said about it, and there's a scripture in Hebrews 9 and 12. For those who have your Bible and those who are writing down, it's Hebrews, the 9th chapter, the 12th verse. And it says, it was neither by blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You know, the lesson is God's master plan. All of this was a part of his plan for us before the beginning of the world, before the foundation was laid. You know, the last two lessons that we talked about was the fulfilling of the Old Testament prophecy. Even the master plan we're talking about now was also prophesied in the Old Testament. You know, God allowed prophets to prophesy, because once sin had entered the world, we was hopeless and we were helpless. But God allowed men of God, inspired men of God, to prophesy about what he was going to do for us, that we could have hope. So we talked about the Old Testament prophecies concerning God's plan for salvation through the blood of our Lord and Jesus Christ. You know, we first studied and we looked at the prophecy of Zechariah when he talked about Jesus entering into Jerusalem. And that was the beginning of the unfolding of the prophecy towards redemption and salvation, which our lesson is tonight. Jesus entered in Jerusalem riding on a donkey, and the people gave him glory and honor and called him Hosanna in the highest. They laid their clothes and cut down branches and palms and laid them along the road for his passage. Oh, but just a week later, they were singing another song, and that song was Crucify Him. You know, and then the next week after that, we studied what Jesus did the last week of his life on earth before his death, burial, and resurrection. We can see from that teaching last week that he used his time wisely, teaching and preaching. He ended with the scene in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we saw how Jesus was filled with so much sorrow, grief, and burden. And he asked his Father three times to remove the cup from me, and each time he asked, he also stated, not my will, but thy will, Lord, be done. And he told his Father, he said, if you can't remove this cup, I will drink of it. Since Jesus was God and man, he knew what was going to happen to him. By being God, he knew the plan of salvation. He knew the plan of his suffering. He knew the plan that God had in mind to redeem his people. See, Jesus knew all of that. And besides the pain and suffering that he was going to have, Jesus was about to take all the sins of the world onto himself. And this is what the Bible teaches us, that sin separates us from God. So even Jesus in his divine glory, but because he had a human side to him as well, he also was going to be separated from the Father because of the sins. And it wasn't no sin that he committed. It was our sins the sins of the world, the sins of the people before us, the sins of the people behind us. All that was piled up on Jesus. And because sin had entered him, because he took him in so that he could save us, it separated him from his Father. You see, Jesus was going to be separated from his Father for the first time. His Father's heart must have been hurting to see all this happening. He knew these things was going to be very painful for Jesus. So the Father sent the angel in the Garden of Gethsemane to give him the only comfort he could ever again receive while in his human body. When that angel went and comforted and strengthened Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, God had to take his hand off it because the sin was about to enter into Jesus. And when the sin entered our sins, come on now, your sins, my sins, into them, he was going to be separated from his Father. You see, 2 Corinthians 5:12, for those who have your Bibles, 2 Corinthians 5:12, for those who are writing, says, For he made him, talking about Jesus, God made him, who know no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become righteousness, become the righteousness of God in him. Besides knowing that he was going to be separated from the Father because of the sin that he was soon going to carry, there was other things that was happening to Jesus that was causing him great heartache and emotional distress. For instance, the entire Jewish nation that he had come to save at that time had turned their back on him. His friends would no longer support him, and they would scatter and leave him all alone. He knew that soon he was going to go through excruciating, horrible pain and much suffering. And here we see God in the flesh as Jesus felt things just as we do. Not through his divine, because in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed, he said, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. You know, the flesh on our bodies want to crave and do fleshly things. You see, the lesson tonight, we will look at what happened the next day and why. So we're going in our lesson for tonight. And the first part happened, we're picking up right after the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, and the lesson tonight, we'll see what happened next. You see, Jesus had the Last Supper. And Jesus stated that one of his disciples would deny him three times before the cock crowed. When they arrested Jesus, the disciples, all of them scattered. And on three occasions, someone recognized Peter as one who was with Jesus, and Peter denied Jesus three times. You see, Matthew 27:95 says, and it might not be 95, you guys, I gotta check that, but Matthew 27. I got 95, but I don't think there's a 95 verse. But it says, and Peter remembered the word of God, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me. And he went out and wept bitterly. But you know what happened? After Peter did that and he realized the scripture came to him that Jesus had taught him, he went out and he wept bitterly. But you see, after Peter thought about it, and after the resurrection of Christ, this outburst of denial was corrected by an emotional-packed reaffirmation of loyalty to the Savior. In other words, Peter repented for what he did, and God looks at the heart. Because remember, he told Peter, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, God had a plan for Peter even in the midst of his weakness, in the midst of his fears, in the midst of his denial. You see, this was a part of God's master plan for our redemption and salvation. He knew he would be denied. And then after that, there was betrayal. And that's in Matthew 26 and 47. And it says, and while they spake, Judas, one of the 12, came with him with a great multitude with swords from the chief priests and the elders. Now, that's amazing. This wasn't a sinner's hunting Jesus down. This scripture in Matthew 26 and 40 said, Matthew 26 and 47 said, who came to get him in the Garden of Gethsemane? It was the high priest and the elders of the people. Now that he betrayed him, what Judas told him, the one that I kiss, the same he is, holding fast. See, Judas had made a deal with them for that 30 pieces of silver. And he told them, I'm going to give you a sign when I kiss him. That's the one. Here we see the portrayal of Jesus Christ by Judas. Remember, always remember, whatever's going on in your life, whatever is taking place, whatever you want and don't have, whatever you're waiting for, just wait. Because remember this, Jesus is all-knowing. And when he selected Judas to be one of his disciples, believe me, he knew his character. He knew Judas was a thief, and he was a greedy man. And he, guess what? By being that, not that God made him that, but him being that in his character, when Jesus chose Judas, Judas fit the bill of a betrayal. Hallelujah. Don't you see God used everything and everybody for his plan and for his glory? Judas fit the bill of a betrayer, and that's why he walked side by side with Jesus for them years in his ministry. But God, Jesus knew who he was. You see, Jesus being God used the man Judas to fulfill the prophecy which was necessary for God's plan for our redemption and our salvation. Remember, God used everything that he has created for his will and his purpose. He used the good, the bad, the high, the low, the in, the out. He created, and nothing he created don't have a purpose. And he uses that to perform his will and to allow his purpose to be manifested. Because the will of God is going to take prevalence over everything, and it will be done. You see, nothing was created without a purpose, and no one or anything, because God is a God of purpose. You see, Judas was paid the 30 pieces of silver and then began to have remorse. Did y'all know Judas had some remorse? He realized that Jesus was an innocent man and tried to give the silver back, but the priest refused, and Judas threw it on the ground. He went off and he hung himself. You got to realize that this was all a part of God's master plan for our redemption. You see, and after that happened, he was denied, then he was betrayed, and then he was arrested. Come on now, we're going to walk through this and see what Jesus Christ did on our behalf. When Jesus was charged and arrested by the chief priests and the elders, Matthew 27 and 2 says, and when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him unto Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now, that was a Roman governor. And Jesus wasn't a Roman. But they brought him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. You see, the priests and the elders were threatened. See, all of this was about threats and jealousy and fear and doubt and pride and all of those nasty things that's in the flesh. You see, the priests and the elders were threatened by the attention Jesus was getting. They didn't want to share it. They believed they deserved it all. And because Jesus was getting a little bit more than they thought he should deserve, they'd rather take him out. If that's what's happening in people's lives, some people on a job, they just so jealous or so threatened by you till they decide to try and find a way to get rid of you. But don't be discouraged. We giving you the word of God tonight, and they did it to Jesus. You know, there's something that say, must Jesus better cross alone and all the world go free. Y'all, we have to remember in our lives, there's a cross for you, and there's also a cross for me. Just as Jesus carried the burden of the cross, the weight of the cross, the sins of the world, we have to bear some crosses too. Now, grant you, it don't feel good. And yes, we don't want them, but it's just a part of life. You see, now, Pontius Pilate was threatened by the priests who threatened to report him to Caesar. As well, he was concerned about the threats of the people who wanted so badly for Jesus to be crucified. You know, but Pilate reasoned with it for a while. And he said in the trial that this man is innocent. Y'all can't prove nothing against him. You see, and even Pilate's wife, if y'all read the scripture, Pilate's wife even asked him not to have anything to do with this. You see, because Matthew 27:19 says, when he sat down off the judgment seat, talking about Pilate, have thou nothing to do with this man. That's what his wife told him. For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. So, you know, they say a hint to the wise is sufficient. He felt in his heart he was innocent. His wife even came and told him she had a dream. And usually they say a hint to the wise is sufficient. But evidently it wasn't enough. You see, but no one listened because they was on a mission. And it had nothing to do with what was right and wrong. You see, it was a custom to let someone go when they was going to have a crucifixion. That was a part of their custom. You see, so there was three people left to be crucified. One was a thief. One was a notorious murderer. And one was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when Pontius Pilate asked the people, who should they let go? They said, let go Barabbas. Matthew 26:27-26 says, when he released Barabbas to them, and then he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. You know, when we look at the news these days and we see all of this injustice going on, you know, sometimes you wonder, what are they thinking about? How in the world could they come up with some of the things that they come up with? And looking at the word of God and the scriptures that's in the Bible and the prophecy that went forth, this just lets you know that what you're seeing is nothing new, because the Bible teaches us there's nothing new under the sun. Some of the most ridiculous laws is coming up and people doing some of the most ridiculous things, and you wonder who's checking the checkers, and you wonder how it all keep going on. But I just want you to know that's the world we live in. That's why God tells us we got to be in this world, but we got to find a way to separate ourselves. You know, the Bible tells us once we accept Christ and we become a Christian, we should be peculiar people. We shouldn't look like they look and do the things that they do. We got to press for the mark of the high call, which is Christ Jesus in our lives, so that our light shall shine and men could see the good works and God can be glorified. That's our part. This lesson is telling you what God's part was and is showing you how he did it. Then he released Barabbas. And I told you they wanted it at any cost. They didn't care. But this was a part of God's master plan for our redemption and salvation. And right after the arrest, they had the trial. They found him guilty. You see, they done set him up and turned him over to be crucified. Remember, all of the disciples done scattered. And here we come to the crucifixion. You see, as the crucifixion of Jesus started, once the crucifixion started, the first sins, the first pile of sins began to pile up on his soul. Jesus, for the first time in all eternity, felt the same separation from God that any person feel who is living in sin. You know how some people say, you know, no matter what I did, it felt like something was missing. Separation. You know how when you not praying or reading or studying and you begin to do different things you thought you didn't want to do, or you don't feel you're growing in Christ, you know how you feel separated? But you see, once you accept Christ as your Savior, God say, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. But sins give us separation. You know, so what Jesus was feeling is what people and I have felt, and I don't know about you, when we felt separate from God or we was doing things we know we shouldn't have did. Jesus was feeling that, just like us and anyone that's outside of the grace of God. And we could go all the way back to the garden, just as Adam was the first Adam who first sinned, felt the separation in the God. In the garden. You see, for the first time, there was a complete separation, a complete alienation. That's what he had from his Heavenly Father. You know, when he began to drop blood in the garden, his sweat became blood in the garden of Gethsemane, and he, you know, was crying out, and he was in agony and pain. Yes, he knew about his suffering, but he just wasn't ready for his separation from his Father. He had never been separated from his Father before the beginning of the world. You see, you know, they first whipped him. Talking about the crucifixion. Isaiah 54 said, Isaiah 52 and 14 says, as many were astonished at thee, his face was so marred, I'm talking scripture, y'all, was so marred, it was marred more than any man, and his form was no more like a son of man. In other words, what they're saying, when they got through whipping him, you couldn't even tell that he was a human. And then Isaiah 50 and 6 said, I gave my back to be smit. This Jesus, this the prophecy. This is Isaiah. And my cheeks to them that plucked off my hair. I hid not my face from shame and the spitting. You know, that's a horrible thing when somebody spits. Especially when they spit in your face. You see, so obviously, Jesus experienced physical attacks as well as blaspheme, the mocking, and all the rest. Here we see that he could not be recognized as a man. Then they took and made him a crown of thorns, and they placed it on his head, and they put a staff in his hand. They spit on him and used the staff that they had in his hand, took it out of his hand to strike him on the head again and again and again. They made him carry the cross after they had beaten him. And because he was so weak from the beatings, he was unable. So they forced a man named Simon, a slave, to carry it. But guess what? I don't know if Simon wanted to do it. He didn't want to do it. But you see, God used everything, and God said, every good deed, no good deed go undone. And a couple of lessons back, we talked about what would happen at the judgment seat of Christ. But here, what an honor for Simon. Little did he know the reward that is waiting for him in heaven. See, we have to look at everything that is brought before us, all of the deeds that are brought before us and the works that we should be doing, because God is designing it all. He's designing it. And he's designing it and working it out for your good. And we have to realize that. You see, this is why Jesus hung on a cross in utter loneliness. He pleaded with his father to comfort him. He screamed out asking why his father had forsaken and abandoned him. Because, you know, we get to the scripture, Matthew 27:46, and it says, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But Jesus knew the answer to the question, because Jesus understood that sin, that the sins he was carrying for all mankind was why he had been separated from his father. You know, plenty of people want to take that scripture and say that Jesus was dissatisfied or he was, you know, angry with God. Wasn't the case. Jesus knew that his mission on earth was complete. He also knew that it was successful. When Jesus took his very last breath, he uttered those three words, his final three words of his earthly life. Those words that told his father and told the entire world that the purpose for which the Son of God came here was indeed successfully completed. You see, if you go to John 19:3 says, hallelujah, it is finished. And bowing his head, he delivered up his spirit. You see what they did? They hung him high and they stretched him wide. He hung his head, and for me he died. And that's love. You see, these three words were not the words of defeat. Rather, they was words of announcing a glorious victory. You see, when Jesus died, at that time, they had in the temple, they had the holies and the holies of holies. And because there was sin and simple sin, as we've been taught with the scriptures tonight, say that sin separated us from God, so we were separated from God, so we couldn't have intimate fellowship and we couldn't have an intimate relationship. But when Jesus died, there was a curtain that separated the rooms. And nothing but the high priests could go in there when they went to make the sacrifice once a year for the atoning of the sins for the people. And remember when we started off with the scripture in Hebrew, they said not of goats or calves, but of the blood of Jesus. You see, the curtain, the veil that separated us because of the sin was torn down from the top and about it, from the top to the bottom. It's in the scripture, y'all. They would need no more for that, because there would be no more sacrifices needed to be made. Jesus did it once and for all. So the curtain was torn, and when the curtain was torn, we had access to the Father. We could have a relationship for ourselves with the Father. We became heirs and joint heirs if we accepted the Son. And we could go to God for ourselves. Oh, what a wonderful thing. That was victory. You see, because God always had a desire to fellowship with his people. When he put Adam and Eve in the garden, It was his desire. But before he could enjoy it and he could see it to its full fruition, sin crept in. And when sin crept in, he immediately put in place the topic of this lesson, his master plan for our redemption and our salvation. And, you know, if you look at redemption and you look at salvation, you know, redemption is the act of saving something. Something that is all messed up. It's just terrible. You see, and for you to have redemption, there got to be a redeemer. Who needed to be redeemed? Us. Who paid the price? God, Jesus Christ paid our pardon. He took our sins. He gave us, he redeemed us. He gave us redemption that created us to be able to have salvation. You see, we got to realize that these three words were not words of defeat. Rather, they was words of announcing a glorious victory. You see, Satan really was getting happy because he believed at that time when Jesus had went to the cross, you know, he had heard the stories that he would rise, but I'm sure he hoped he wouldn't. I'm sure he hoped he wouldn't. So he thought he had it going on at that time, and he was probably clapping and singing and doing everything else because Jesus was being crucified, and then they buried him. And, oh, he probably got happier then. But, you see, we have to realize that this was also the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was a part of God's master plan for our redemption and our salvation. Because God wanted to fellowship with his people. God wants to enjoy and see his creation doing and fulfilling his will and his purpose and giving him glory and honor. You see, God made us free moral agents. That's how we could decide to do and not do what we want or don't want to do. He's saying, I wouldn't want it no other way because I could have made you a robot and praised and praised and praised him. Or he could have created us and brought us just to heaven like the angels was there so we could bow down. He wanted to enjoy his creation. So you see, all of this was a part of the master plan. You see, when I got the word redemption in the topic, you know, redemption is the improving of something. It's the act of saving something or somebody from a declined, dilapidated, or corrupted state and restoring it to a better condition. So that's the definition of redemption. That's what when Jesus said it is finished, it for us. It improved us. It saved us. It took us from the decline. It took us out of a dilapidated state. It made us, took us from being corrupted. And he restored us. Do you believe it? Do you love the cross? You see, redeemed is a state of improving somebody or something and saving them from apparent irreversible decline. And it's also the atonement for human sin, deliverance from sin of humanity by the death of Jesus on the cross. You got to love it. You got to love it. And you see, after that happened, okay, they buried him. He said it was finished. They're burying him. And oh, hallelujah, then there was a resurrection. You know, we go around saying Jesus rose. It was the resurrection. Do you really understand why he had to rise? We all know that not how the story ends. Because 3 days later, he rose again. And again, that's also loved. Love. Matthew 28:5 said, but the angel said to them, the women, do not be afraid. That's Matthew 28:5. The angel said to the woman, be not afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. Hallelujah. And the 6th verse said, he is not here, for he has risen, as he said he would. Come on now. That's what Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and all of them was talking about, because everything in the Bible points to Jesus. They say he is not here, but he has risen as he said he would. That's power. But they say, the angels say, come and see the place where he laid. You see, there were six disastrous consequences if there was no resurrection. We need to know that. Because even though he died in the blood of Jesus, we need to know why it was necessary for him to rise and what's the importance of the resurrection. But right now, I'm going to just give you six disastrous consequences if there was no resurrection. Number one, preaching Jesus would be senseless. Because you see, if he would have stayed in the grave, he would have been a dead God. But we all know that Jesus is the only true and living God. So he had to rise. Two, faith in Jesus Christ would be useless because he would be in a grave stinking like everybody else would do. He had to rise. You see, all the witnesses and the preachers of the resurrection over all of the years in all of our lifetime, if I'm talking to you, Jesus had already died, and the word of God tell us, all of that would be all of the preachers and the witnesses who preached and talked about the resurrection would be a liar. Four, no one could be redeemed from their sins if he wouldn't arise. Because you see, that's when he was given all power. And he had the power over debt. See, the resurrection proved that he had power over debt and sin kills. Number five, all former believers would perish. Because you see, the resurrection taught that if Jesus was resurrected, that's what God has in store for his people, the people who believe on his son, that we will resurrect like that always. We would be resurrected as well. That's why we talk about our resurrection. Have you ever talked about your resurrection? Can we look at the rapture in different eyes and realize that that's, you know, our bodies? That, you know, when they was having problem talking about when they died and they talked about taught on the rapture, the people was a little leery because they say, if the ones that's living on earth is going to be taken up with God, what about my mom and them who laying in the grave and the people? He said, don't worry about that. He said, because the dead in Christ is going to rise first. That's the resurrection. Jesus dying and being resurrected teaches us that we can look forward to that as well. If we hear when he come or if we in the grave, he's going to gather his people and we're going to be resurrected with him. Six, Christians would be the most pitiful people on earth. We would have no hope. We would have no living God. We wouldn't have no intercessor sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven interceding on our behalf. You see, but Christ indeed has risen from the dead and given everyone a chance to have their names written in the book of life. You see, unlike any other religion, Christianity alone possesses a founder who transcends debt and who promised that his followers would do the same. See, that's separating from Buddha, and that's separating from Allah, and that's separating from the purple god, and that's separating from the iron bulls and the golden calf. Why would you honor any other god, put any other god before God? Because he's the true and living God. See, he had to rise to become the living God. You see, all other religions was founded by men and prophets who end up in the grave. And after they end up, they didn't rise in 3 days and stayed on earth and had for 40 days and then went up to be with the Father. See, this is the infallible truth about Jesus Christ for us Christians to believe, because atheists and people and Scientology people are trying to prove that this is not true. But this is our hope, and this is what we hold on to, and the scripture is telling us how it was done, because the topic of my lesson is God's master plan for our redemption and salvation, and we're looking at it, and we're walking it step by step, and we're using what God has said in the Old Testament as well as the New. You see, Matthew 20 and 28 say Jesus Christ came into the world to die as our substitute for our sins. He did that. You see, the sinless Son of God came to give his life as a ransom for many. He did that. You see, the resurrection is the triumph and the glorious victory for every believer. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose on the third day according to the scripture. Do you believe it? Do you understand it? Do you nourish on it? Do you praise God for it? Do you thank Jesus for what he did and bless the Holy Spirit by cooperating with him as he tried to lead and guide you into righteousness and truth? But guess what? And he's coming back again. The dead in Christ will rise up, and those remaining at his coming will be changed and receive new glorified bodies. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18 said, why is the resurrection of Jesus important for our redemption and salvation? It demonstrates that God accepted Jesus Christ's sacrifice on our behalf. He paid our debt in full once and for all. You see, you got to realize this. The resurrection was the climax. And I like to say it put the icing on the cake. It dotted all I's and it crossed all of the T's, the resurrection. It proved that God had the power to raise us from the dead. So you don't have to be sitting around spooked and second-guessing and living in fear. The resurrection of Jesus proved it. You see, the resurrection guaranteed that those who believe in Christ will not remain dead, but will be resurrected unto eternal life. This is our blessed hope. This is also the most important part of God's master plan for our redemption and salvation. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he became the only true and living God. And this, as I close, you need to remember this. Because he lives, you should always be able to face tomorrow. Because he lives, shake your doubts and your fears. Because he lives, he let you know, and the scripture let us know, and the prophecy let us know that he holds our future. And you know, with God holding our future in his hand, you know, he said, I'm going to work all things out together for your good. He said, you're going to be the head and not the tail. He said, I'm going to give you blessings. You won't have room enough to receive it. He said, the firm and effectual prayer of the righteousness availeth much. He said, trust me. Because in trusting me, you're saying I know best. He said, remember that everything happened. I either orchestrate or allow it. He said, I got you. He said, when I dressed you in the armor of God, he said it had a breastplate, a helmet. He said it had shoes. It had a belt. He said, but there was nothing in your back because I got your back. He said, I'm going to take care of your enemies and your foes. He said, you see, your enemies is the ones that you know. He said, but the foes is the one that smile in your face. And you let them get close because you think they're all right. He said, but I got my hand on them too. He said, but do you trust me? He said, He holds your future. And just remember this and start enjoying the life that Jesus Christ died for you to have. Start doing the things that are necessary to give glory and honor to him. And Jesus said, yeah, I died for your sins. He said, I took every one of them. And if you accepted me, you're going to be saved. He said, but remember, I didn't take your consequences. He said, it belongs to you. He said, but just follow me. Just trust me. Just hold on to my own unchanging hands. God said, if I said it, it is so. Because for me to lie would be able to go, for me to go against my nature. So tonight as I close, just remember, he holds the future. He holds your future. He holds my future, your children, your grandchildren. He holds all of your hurts, your pains, your sorrow, your suffering. Just like Jesus overcame it, that's how you're going to overcome it. And you see, eternal life, there will be no flesh, so there will be no wrongdoing. And every day is going to be sunshine, and Sabbath will have no end. But until we get there, he is our advocate. He is our provider. And he is our redeemer. Because to have redemption, you had to have a redeemer. We needed to be saved, to be redeemed. And he is the redeemer. He said, I know the plans that I have for you. Jeremiah 29:11. Plans of an expected end. Expect your expected end. Read the word of God to know all that is yours. And I could tell you tonight that life is worth the living just because he lived. And that's the lesson for tonight. And I just want to thank everybody for being a part of this. You know, we're approaching Easter time and Good Friday and these things. But, you know, some people, all they could say is that Jesus came and died. You don't know why he died. You don't know really how he died. You don't know that he rose and what was important about him rising. We have to understand God's plan. And the only way to do that is in the word of God. And for those, you know, wherever we are is where we are right now. Don't beat up on yourself. The Bible teaches in Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation. But we should have a desire when we look at everything that Jesus Christ and God playing and the Holy Ghost is doing in and through our lives, we should want to become better. I ain't never said perfect. But we should want to grow in grace day by day. So at this time, if there's anybody who would want to make a comment on the goodness of Jesus or how Jesus is working in their lives or what they feel about the death, burial, and resurrection or give a praise report, you can press the one button on your phone at this time and I would open your mic. Because he lives. Is there anyone who would like to say anything? Well, at this time, okay, a caller pressed on. Caller 504-355. Your line is open.
Yes, I would like to say something. I would like to say thank you for being the host that you are. And giving us the word, a better understanding of the word. I know most of us have had some type of Bible studying or studying with God, but you bring it out more, and the more we hear it, the better we know it, and the better we know God. And I want to thank you for that, Ms. Diane.
I thank you so much, Kathy, and taking time to make a comment. You know, when I prepare these lessons week after week, you know, I just pray to God that I'm giving you guys something that you can use. You know, but feedback is you know, I'm not really begging for feedback at this time, but feedback always helps to let me know if I'm going the right way, I need to change a little something. And let me just tell you guys, if I say something that you think is not correct or I do something that you think I shouldn't, I have a strong back, because this is all about God. This is not about Diane. And me hearing from you guys, it's of course it's encouragement, and it's going to give me the strength to want to keep going on. And like I always tell you, if it's a certain lesson you would like to hear, you can. And you got to always remember this, and I say it a lot. I cannot give you revelation or illumination. I'm only giving you information, and I pray to God and to Jesus and to the Holy Ghost that the information that I give, that I have gotten from the Holy Ghost, penetrate through your heart, your mind. And you have to take this word and do something with it when you hear it. Meditate on it, pray on it, lay on it, read on it, that you could grow it. And the Holy Ghost is going to give you what you need, and that's when the word won't return void. So, Carla, I thank you for your comments and your word of encouragement, and I pray that you keep calling in, and I pray that this lesson was encouragement to you.
Yes,
is there any other caller? Thank you, Carla. Any other callers at this time? There's no other callers that would like to make a comment. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and do the benediction prayer because it's 9:28. But I do have music, some great different music in store for those who stay on the line, because a lot of callers stay on the line because they love the music and there's messages in the music. So I'm going to play some music. But before I do that, because some callers may have something to do and they don't want to listen to the music, but I don't want no one to miss their blessings, because there's a blessing in the benediction. There's a blessing in the closing prayer. So I'm going to go ahead and do the prayer in case you can't stay on after that. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the creator of all things, I just want to say thank you, dear God. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you for your son. You so loved the world that you gave your only son, that whosoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. I thank you for the blood of Jesus, which is the atonement for our sins. I thank you for allowing Jesus to become our substitute. I thank you for allowing Jesus to pay our debt, D-E-A-T-H, bill in full. I thank you, dear God. I realize, dear God, that we can't make it without you. And because of you, we are who we are, Heavenly Father. But I pray that you keep sanctifying us and glorifying us, that we become what you have designed us to be. Lord, we pray not our will, but thy will be done in our lives. Lord, and are we going to be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise? Heavenly Father, some of these callers have been calling in for over a year, and you, I know that is called commitment, and I know you honor that. Bless them, dear God. Bless each and every person that had the desire to call in, the ones who call in on the phone and the ones who's looking on the internet or listening on any other sources. Bless them, dear God. Bless them in the blessing they need of. I don't know everybody that's going to listen. I don't know everybody that called in, dear God, but you do. And, Lord, I'm asking that you bless them, find favor in their lives, dear God. You have granted them favor through your son, Jesus Christ, and give them the favor of man. Bless their finances, dear God. Bless their children. Bless their homes. Bless their jobs, dear God. Please, Lord Jesus. And, Jesus, as you intercede in our behalf, because after you rose from the grave and you stayed on earth for 40 days and you went sit at the right hand of your Father interceding for our prayer, ask God for mercy for each and every one of us. Ask him to remove any heartaches. Ask him to remove any fear. Ask him to remove any bad attitude. Ask him to circumcise our heart, dear God, that we may not sin against you. Lord, if you see anything that's in us that shouldn't be in us, take it out. Lord, and we're going to be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and glory. Let this word that went forth, dear God, please let it not return void. And let every person that heard it just begin to meditate on it. Let them write it on in their hearts. You know, God gave the commandments. Lord, you gave your commandments to Moses on tablets. But you say you was going to write it in our hearts right now, dear God. Help us, dear God. Guide us and protect us. Use us as your servants. Teach us how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost as he try to lead us. Lord, and we're going to be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, because you're worthy. Christ, you're the only true and living God, because you got up. And we say thank you. I say thank you. All these blessings and others I ask in Jesus' name for all of our sakes. And I'm going to go ahead right now and play the music. If there's anyone that's listening on the internet, you could call into the call-in number. And when I see your number pop up, I will be able to open your mic. And when I open your mic, you would be able to make a comment as well. So right now I'm going to go ahead and play another song. Thank you, and be blessed. That was I Won't Complain. It's a beautiful song. I have some more great songs for us. And as always, I thank you again for being a part of Inspirational Wednesday. Like me. amazing grace, what Jesus did on the cross, it granted us grace, unmerited favor. Nothing we could do to earn it. They tell us all our deeds is as a filthy dish rags. But Jesus provided grace for us with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And we should thank him.
And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Another record. If there's no one else that would like to say anything, I think we're going to close the broadcast down tonight. And again, I would like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to Inspirational Wednesday. This is something that God has decided to allow us to do, and each one of you have decided to be a part of it. And I want you to know that your dedication will not be in vain. And I see callers are still on the line, so what I could do is try another song. Since no one has anything to say and we're still on the line. That's our last song for the night. God be with you guys until we meet again. God loves you, and so do I. Be blessed and see you back on next Wednesday, if the Lord say the same. Glory of God be upon you, and the peace of God be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.